Hello and welcome to How Is That Not a Thing? Each episode, our panel of experts will take turns pitching crazy inventions and products, and we'll guess whether they're real or not. Today, I'm joined by Freddie Riddell.
Hello.
Sophie Marquand.
Hello.
And Hugo off the Barking Baking Company.
Hello.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about Barking Baking?
Okay, Barking Baking is basically a student website, barkingbaking.com, which has loads of good, easy recipes on it, hopefully. Got videos and stuff on like a Facebook page, and basically it's making like recipes that you might not necessarily think are a good idea or like easy to do, like easy and accessible kind of thing. And it started off just like me, I can cook, but now it's kind of grown out a little bit, and so it's quite fun. Check it out kind of thing.
Awesome. Well, in honor of Barking Baking Company, today is a food special. So each of the products and inventions we talk about will have a sort of food theme.
Oh, I've got a fun story. Well, it might be a fun story about food. We could have a little preamble.
Yeah.
So I hadn't flown in a plane until last year in my whole life. Last year I went to Morocco, but it was two very, very short haul flights. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to Dubai on a 6-hour flight. So finally, for the first time in my life, I'm going to get to find out what the deal with airplane food actually is. I'm going to put it in a stand-up set when I find out.
He has mentioned this every day for the past week and a half since he realised.
Just really excited to find out what's so wrong with it. It's just food in the air. How
who
can it be
are
that
you flying
bad?
With?
Mev and Nural.
No, I'm
Viv. Mev and Viv.
Which
airline? Which airline?
Emirates.
Yeah, so their food is really interesting. So I've flown with them a number of times. And they have really interesting food because you can have the kind of traditional food, like Middle Eastern. Well, that's not Middle Eastern, is it? Where is it? Where is...
The Emirates.
Yeah, it is Middle East.
That's good.
So you can have that, or you can have like the Western options. I don't think you can mix menus, but on their long-haul flights, because I've done them a few times, you can do that.
That's true, and actually on the way back in, like it always, like when I flew Hong Kong last year, and coming back it was all like rice and stuff, I mean, without sounding like rude or whatever, but on the way out,
it was potato, like a
classic burger or whatever.
So they stock up in the country
exactly.
They're also really good if you're jet-lagged and in a completely different, like, in terms of when you're eating. If everyone else is asleep and you want food, they'll give it to you.
That's true, actually. If you wake up and, like, I flew a Virgin, as I said, last year, and it was amazing. I had the most amazing cookie supply that no one knows about. So you get up in the middle of the night, you creep along, you say hello, and they give you cookies. You must do it. But don't say do that, Emirates.
I'll ask.
Exactly.
Right, who would like to go first? Why don't I go first today, because everyone else is so keen. This is a really cool invention that I've seen. You remember Pritt Sticks? Probably not a seminal part of your life anymore, but when you were young.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, primary school.
I feel like Sophie still Pritt Sticks a lot of things.
I did once eat Pritt Sticks.
That's not what I meant. Good to know.
Because they used to come in lots of different colours, or there was a time when you could get them in different coloured Pritt Sticks, and I was like, well, I wonder if they taste different in a different colour.
And there were the purple ones if your school was cheap. My school was cheap. We had purple Pritt Sticks.
Well, they were Pritt Stick...
No, they
brand.
Were off-brand Pritt Sticks. Yeah. Purple.
Pritt Stick-esque.
Yeah.
Well, Stickian.
It's funny that you should mention tasting them, Sophie, because this is basically a butter Pritt Stick.
Oh, God.
Oh, funky.
Right.
It's the food special.
Okay.
You get what you ask for, people. You've just toasted something, perfectly toasted. Yeah. How do you get that perfect spread of butter on that?
A knife.
With the butter boss.
You melt all the butter.
You get.
You pour it on.
Yeah, you get a bucket of melted butter. No. You get basically a tube of butter, twist it so a little bit comes out the end, just like glue, and then you spread it, and you get the perfect thin layer of butter over your toast.
This upset me a lot to begin with, but that's actually a really good idea.
Right?
Yeah. Especially if you got if it's the size of like a Pringles tube, so you'd have to rebuy it.
I feel like the butter might get rancid if it's like that bigger.
We got through quite a lot of Lurpak quite quickly. I think we can manage.
Well, I think it comes in a few sizes. I don't know about the size you just gestured to. It's like half a meter long.
Have you ever watched like cooking or baking tutorials on YouTube done by Americans, because they measure stuff out in sticks of butter.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's like they can't weigh things. Everything's like a stick of butter, a bit of this, a chunk of that.
Well, they use the cup, but cup is actually a regular measure.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a lot, I have a lot of different cups.
Yeah, this is it. And then equally they do like tablespoons of butter as well. I've come across that. People say like have 5 tablespoons of butter, and I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't understand how that works. Do you just go for like the whole chunk, or do you melt it into like?
The worst part, I think, especially with cups of butter, is that you can never fully, unless you melted the butter, you couldn't fill the cup. Yeah, it can't be perfect, whereas it can be with flour or sugar.
But maybe, like, with the Pritt stick, what's it called? The butter boss. The butter boss. Maybe. Wait, wouldn't it be cool, though, if it was the right size and you knew that you could...
Well, you know, one twist is 25 grams.
Oh, that's clever.
That's genius.
Yeah.
So then you cut it out. But then,
so you know exactly how much volume you're dispensing.
My concern, though, with butter boss is that if you imagine you do your cheeky twist, you approach your toast, and then you start to sort of print your toast or butter, whatever it is, print stick your toast.
Yep.
Do you not end up with like a whole load of like crumbs on the end of your butter boss?
My butter's full of crumbs anyway.
Same.
Yeah. I don't know how you're meant to avoid that.
But no, I think the way you avoid that is to... You have to be bold and you have to take off a hunk of butter and then spread it. And then if you've got it wrong,
you always add more.
No, so you always go like less and then add more. You can always add more, but you can't take away.
Yeah, but if you add more, you return to the butter with your crummy knife. That's true.
Multiple knives. You've got to have multiple
100
knives.
100 knives. Plastic disposable knives.
Why are we trying to avoid this? I think going back to your butter box or whatever it is now you get nowadays before the butter box and you're seeing all the crumbs from previous meals, it's like a trip down memory lane. It's like food nostalgia. Oh, I remember that time when I had jam on toast on Sunday morning. That was nice. I remember the time I did some baking and there's a little bit of flour left over.
No,
I love that.
I disagree. I'm sorry, I think you're wrong, because I think do you guys not have that thing where, for example, when you buy peanut butter or chocolate spread, you open it, it's crisp, it's clean, it's even, it's like snow's just fallen, and then you stab it, you kind of christen it and it's glorious. But then you want to return, and I would argue you want to have that memory again of cleanliness and enjoyment again, rather than sort of a crummy sort of grainy peanut or butter.
Our ideals just...
Does it come with like a lid? That's my other question.
Yeah, it does come with a lid.
Okay.
Doesn't the lid get all buttery?
Yeah, but the lid of a Pritt stick gets all gluey and we're all fine with that as a society.
but a buttery lid?
Gluey lid.
Another great thing about it is reusable, because it's not like a one-time thing. So you fill it up with butter yourself, and then...
You've lost me completely. That's mental.
Yeah.
Why?
Because when you melt butter, it changes butter.
You don't have to melt it. You just have to get it to, like...
You're jamming butter down a tube with your bare hands.
Yeah, but
like an animal.
Unless butter's really cold, it is malleable. You don't have to liquidise it.
No, but you still have to shove butter down a
you're
tube.
You're saying you buy it. It's no... I'm not sure about this, because it's no real... Ah, no, okay, there are a number of problems with this, though. Hang on, now we think about this. Because if you buy... So say you've... Even before we get to Freddie's issue of the stuff in the butter in the tube, butter has to be cold, right? So you presumably keep the butter boss in the fridge.
Yes. No.
So then... Ah.
Butter doesn't have to be that cold.
No, it just needs to be in a... Like, you'd keep it in a butter
dish,
right?
No, but butter in a butter dish would not be... If you pushed butter in... You're pushing it through the thing, through the tube, if you're rotating your thing, expecting your beautiful colour, calypso-style, like, disc of butter at the top, it's not going to happen, because it's not going to be... It's going to be too warm to come out in a
fridge.
But then, when you apply the butter boss,
it's not spreadable anymore.
Unless it's minging hot. Unless you kind of rotate it above, like, the toaster in preparation. It's like a kind of...
I was under the impression that this was, like, a really unenvironmentally conscious thing where you buy a new tube every time, like a tub of butter. And I was like, oh, that's dreadful. And, like, I wouldn't do it because I think we use too much packaging. But that's a sound idea. But now I've got to ram butter down a tube. I've got to ram warm, oily gels into a tube, only to have it squirt out the other end again in a minute. You've lost me completely. I'm sorry.
Could you do like or is this rather a margarine type butter? Because actual butter is almost quite, what's the word, fragile. It's a little bit crumbly.
Mm.
Like the whole thing about discs of butter just not being able to spread them until they've had. So
you're saying it's like a different. It's like a special artificially.
Do you know what would be better? Would
than
be
butter. Sorry. Didn't even rhyme.
Would be like, you get these, I don't know what they are, syringe gun type things that help to, that you use to ice cakes, like do little designs on cakes. And if you had that with a margarine in it, or a butter icing even, then it would work.
If you could get like a worm wheel on the back as well, so you can put a lot of force in and just squeeze out a really thin like layer of butter to avoid the problem of mashing up your bread when you're trying to butter it, like by buttering over forcefully. You just have like a rack but in reverse, like a really strong squeezer, like a pneumatic drill for butter.
This is so over designed, brilliant.
The other question I want to ask is, can you make it? Can it, like, does it come? So if we have the basic Butter Boss, but can we have the more
Butter Boss Deluxe?
Exactly, with like garlic butter or something, or different.
Like you say. Depends what you put in it.
Paprika butter.
Because remember, Hugo, you're shoving butter in yourself like you've got no respect for your own time.
Hugo, do you think it's a thing? Would you use the Butter Boss?
I think it's not a thing, but I quite like it to potentially. I see. Yeah, it could potentially be a thing if it was like funky butter. It wasn't like your standard butter. I don't like the idea that that we're having to. Reinsert our butter, but I think I prefer the Pritt stick. Sort of buy it, throw it.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a thing in its current form. But it might have mileage. I don't know.
Sophie.
I reckon there's something that exists like this. Some kind of over designed American butter stick that basically means that you don't have to put any effort in at all. But I don't think the Butter Boss itself exists. I think. There are flaws in it that have been solved by someone else.
I feel like you've seen the kickstart of this and misunderstood that you're not meant to shove butter in yourself, so I don't believe that the product as you've described it is real. I don't believe anyone would ask you to put butter in a tube. That's upset me so much. The idea of someone telling you to put butter in a tube.
How do you feel about Butter Boss? Is it a thing? Is it not a thing? Would you like it to be a thing for your bakery?
Write email in to howisthatnotathingpodcast@gmail.com.
You got that right as well, I think.
We've got an email.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Oh,
so
wow.
Just set up Twitter.
It is a thing.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. Fair.
Wait, is it called Butter Boss?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up. I need to see
Sophie,
this.
Tell me for the love of God that they're not asking you
what's
to
the going
ladle
rate for a butter
in.
It's like $25?
Hence
it's refillable.
Yeah.
Oh my... Oh, it's square!
What?!
How do you...
Oh, I had this vision...
It's an over-designed stick of butter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely bloody ridiculous.
Oh, because in America, butter comes in a stick and you could just drop the stick into the Butter Boss.
Butter comes in a stick here.
Does
not
it?
A perfectly square stick. Our butter comes in correct
metric rectangles,
yeah. Not imperial sticks.
Oh. There's a smarter way to butter toast. Life hacker.
That is not a smarter way to butter toast.
Nice.
Well, regardless of your disdain for the concept, it is a thing.
Hey!
Oh!
Cool. Who wants to go next?
Okay, so my thing... So we've all been there. We sat in the kitchen. We're trying to make our scrambled eggs. The toaster's on the other side of the room. You scramble, no pun intended, over to the other side of the room. You deal with your toaster, and then you return to find that your scrambled eggs has gone horribly wrong, or your baked beans have burned, or anything like that. Anything that requires any form of stirring in a pan, you have to sort of stand there and stir it. So this invention is called. It's called the Handy Helper, and I think what happens is it sits on the edge of your pan, and it's like it attaches to your wooden spoons that we've all got in our houses, and it kind of creeps around the edge of the pan with the end of the spoon obviously in the pan itself, and it kind of automatically stirs it. It's kind of like a kind of Harry Potter-esque stirring device. We've seen them in like sort of mugs and things, and which kind of you press a button and it stirs at the bottom. But this one stirs from the edge, and so it can be attached to different pans. And I haven't got one, but I quite like one. I don't know what you guys think. That's it, basically. There's a brief introduction to it.
Does it fit any size?
It fits
container?
It fits any size container because the difference is the spoon, the length of the spoon. Kind of like, as long as you can attach it to any length of spoon, if that makes sense. So okay. If you've got a really small container, you attach it nearer the base of the spoon itself, and if you've got a really large container, you don't.
So it's not physically rotating around the edge,
it's
rotating
to the edge. It's rotating, yeah, exactly. It's rotating. No. It's rotating around the edge of the pan.
Oh, it moves itself
exactly,
around.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like a carriage on a monorail.
Exactly.
So
okay.
Any spoon, stir your beans.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Although I do, having said that, I say it if it's any pan, but then I think they have pans that they produce as well, like sort of handy help pans. The idea is you get
what
a
you'd worry
set.
About is the handle getting in the way. So presumably they make pans that they guarantee the handle is the correct.
I mean, yeah,
height.
I think this is one thing exactly. You have like it's slightly blurred or whatever. Mm. But then equally, the handles on most pans they say are sort of sufficiently small that it can kind of continue round, if that makes sense.
And is the attachment sort of like a bulldog clip type attachment, so it can adapt to different widths of bowl? Because you know, sometimes some people like to cook with. For plastic bowls, some people like to cook with those quite thick ceramic bowls.
I think so. I think the crucial thing is that it pushes against the other side, if that makes sense. So, the other side, the base of the pan, if that makes sense. So, as long as it's pushing against, if it's kind of, it's on the inside of the pan more, as we said, like, so because of the handle issue, like, it's on the inside of the pan, and so a little bit, if that makes sense. So, it kind of pushes away, so it's kind of clamped in place, a bit like like a reverse vice.
It's clamped to both sides
kind
of the inside of the pan.
But mostly on the inside, because then it kind of...
Right.
Because my thought is that if you do, just developing on that kind of bulldog clip type thing, even though you say it's not, but if you do have something that's clamped on either side, if the thing is round, it won't clamp properly, if that makes sense.
That's true, but I presume it's slightly curved or whatever. To fit the curvature.
Yeah,
the
curvature of the bowl, but then it would depend on the size of the.
That's true.
Bowl.
That's true. I don't know. I haven't looked into it that closely.
It's probably
spring
loaded or something. So
I don't know. Or maybe like rubber or something. I don't know.
I think this would be really cool, not just for when you've got to go answer the door or something and you want to keep stirring, but if you've got something that needs agitation over an hour.
Yeah,
if you might just be like, right, I'll put this on, I'll go watch an episode of House of Cards.
Presumably, yeah, exactly. And
making a bolognese that needs sort of stirring occasionally.
But have you heard of the KitchenAid?
Those are the huge things. But they're sort of. But you can't do those on the heat, can you?
That's like that fizzy drink you drink in kitchens, isn't it?
Ah, you're such a funny guy.
I should have said that's the fizzy drink you make from kitchens, isn't it?
It's still crap.
Isn't a KitchenAid like huge devices that you kind of...
Yes, it is. But the thing about the KitchenAid, and I've been looking into them recently because my mum wants to buy one, is that they come in all sorts of things. So you can have one that literally just stands over the bowl. So you could put it on the side of a stove.
Oh.
Then put it...
Sounds quite dangerous.
That does. And also KitchenAids are like... They're quite expensive, aren't they?
They are.
I feel like what this does is it's like, if you waterproof it right, you just have to take it out, rinse it once under like hot, fast water, and you've saved massively on washing up. It's not like a big Kenwood twizzly, wizzly, woo-wah.
Yeah, because that's the problem. Like,
technical term.
KitchenAids are kind of like vast things that like take up a lot of room, whereas this one... I mean, I don't know, it might be something of a gimmick, if that makes sense, but I think it's... it's certainly cheaper, and I would give it a go over the KitchenAid for £500 or whatever it is.
Yeah, they go up to about £600. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So cool. Okay. Any more questions? Or are we kind of buying this?
Yeah, I'm on Amazon now looking for one. That's a lie. my phone's in my pocket.
the manner in which you're fixing it to the bowl, I'm struggling to imagine it working a little bit, but I think it's probably true.
Okay.
I think it's probably real. Sophie?
I think, some version of that is true. I assume because you don't, when you look at these things, you don't look technically at like how they're fixed in place. You're just like, oh, look at the function. It's a really good function. So I assume you've kind of looked at the function and gone, that's great.
Cool. I'll be contrary and say I don't think it's real. I think... Although I was simplifying it, I think the washing up might be a bit of a pain. And attaching the spoon might be a bit difficult.
Fair.
Listeners at home, has this invention stirred anything in you?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hugo, is it a thing?
It's not a thing. Whoa!
Well, how is that not a thing?
certainly needs to be.
It's actually quite a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, despite my contrarianism, I think that's, yeah.
Like, if you could get it, if you could produce something that the KitchenAid does for about a fraction of the price, then why wouldn't you? I mean,
I wouldn't buy one, but if it were bought for me, I would use it and learn to love it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, could be quite easy.
I quite like, though, the... I like
it's quite therapeutic.
It is therapeutic.
And also, I'm not sure I believe how well it would work in terms of its like stirring ability.
Especially because sometimes you need a really rigorous stir.
You need like a cheeky like stirring like figure of eight or what are you doing? You know, the classic figure of eight.
I can tell you know your way around the kitchen. That's an expert.
So, barking baking, guys?
Maybe if the Butter Boss can get kickstarted, maybe this could get kickstarted too. Maybe if you make a prototype.
Have you got a name for it?
In the Mooney.
The Handy Helper.
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
sweet.
Cute.
Handy Helper.
Freddie, have you got a thing? Tell us about your thing.
I do have a thing. Do you want to hear about it?
I do want to hear about it.
Oh, go on then. Here we go. So, eating food, it stirs something deep within us. A primal level, food is satisfying. What if, though, you could mix some other emotions, some other, like, sensations into food?
Stop you there. Do you have to do this one, or can you do another one that's not Viagra-related?
Introducing Viagra ice cream.
That's not okay.
It's a little restaurant in London.
This isn't a product. This is an invention you eat at a restaurant in public.
It's a special restaurant. It's one of those, like, so you know that restaurant that's staffed entirely by blind people and it's all in the dark? It's like that, but for penises.
So it's a brothel?
No, it's not a sex thing, Sophie.
It's Viagra.
It's normal ice cream that's been coloured blue. It's got, like, it's sherbety ice cream, like from the... You know, like sherbet ice cream, that's the thing. And they take Viagra pills and crush them up on top. Mm. Sort of like as a crust, like with like little bits of chocolate or like little like crystals of raspberry, if you get that on ice cream. But Viagra. So you eat it, what Viagra does to you happens, and you're enjoying the nice ice cream. Obviously, it comes at the end of the meal. It's a bit of fun. Like, it's sort of the classy London version of buying your mate a inflatable doll for a stag do. You go, should we have a bit of a fun evening out? Should we do something a bit risque? We'll go to La Patisserie La Erection, or whatever it's called. That's probably not its name. I don't speak French. Le Petit Moor ice cream parlour. You go there, you have your meal, and then you finish off with your Viagra ice cream.
That's my invention. I don't think there's anything classy about popping a boner while you wait for the bill.
This is what I mean, I don't have any experience of A, Viagra, or B, having a boner, but...
It's great, try something.
Thanks. Maybe I will. But... does it work immediately? How long is the process?
So I think it's a relatively short time to kick in. The issue with Viagra is the warning's like if your erection persists for more than 6 hours, is it? Seek medical attention? Which I think
this isn't what the 40-year-old virgin.
It implies that the like normal working time for Viagra is you'll have a big erection for 4 hours.
Does it work for women?
Viagra increases blood flow. So I think women would get some effect. They'd be like, "Oh, I feel a bit funny, actually."
Is it not a prescription drug?
No.
You sure?
Probably not. You can buy all sorts.
I imagine there's like health issues with that if you have a high blood pressure or something.
Oh, I mean, you probably have to like read a warning, but there's all sorts of drugs you can buy over the counter. Like you can buy codeine over the counter, and that's like you can get a horrible addiction to that.
Yeah, but it has. I've bought it before, and it has. They warn you when you buy it. They say, "Have you taken this before?
Yeah.
Do you know the risk?"
So you'll buy your Viagra for your restaurant, and they'll say, "All right, mate, you're buying 500 boxes of Viagra here. A big weekend, is it, sir?" And they'll be like, "No, I run a weird restaurant in London," and they'll be like, "Right, that explains everything."
It still sounds like a restaurant wouldn't be licensed to dispense Viagra, whether through food or not.
There's probably some weird. So a lot of drugs you can buy them, providing you don't resell them. So, like, there's probably a lot of loopholes that you can use. Like, maybe if you're only giving someone one pill's worth, and you like declare what like, and it's if you can say it's for recreational. No, that doesn't make sense. That would make it way worse. If you can say it's art. If you say on the menu that erections are art, you might be able to get away with it legally.
Food is art. What do we think, guys?
Oh, wow. What a big question.
It is.
I think it can get too much though, the food is art thing. Like it's become this sort of glorious thing that we all look at, like we've all got like 1,000 Jamie Oliver, no disrespect. like books, and like they're all gorgeous, and it's like a coffee table book. You sit there, you peruse it, and then how often do people actually make the food? It's become like a sort of, it's moved away from the food, like it's become
the visuals more.
Yeah, it's actually like a Instagram, Pinterest, Pinterest.
Do you know what I hate? So I really hate, I mean, there are a lot of things.
How much time have you got?
Okay, thing I really hate is people who Instagram their food, but do it kind of on a regular basis and in a sort of like, I don't know, they have no regard for the presentation of food or the way that, like, people who Instagram their food...
Badly,
right. Yes, okay. And cool. Do it consistently.
Consistently badly.
Because there is an art to photographing, painting, presenting food... Yeah. And
but
they
when
don't
someone's
get
just
it.
Going, here's my chips.
Exactly, that's what it is.
So what we found here is that if you take photographs of the Viagra ice cream nicely, it's legal. Otherwise, it's not.
If I can perhaps persuade you a bit more that this is a real thing, I think we all know that human breast milk ice cream was hitting the headlines about a year ago. So it would
somewhat compelling.
It wouldn't be the first time that someone's put something weird and a little bit saucy into ice cream.
I'm sure people make all sorts of things into ice cream.
So I'm just confused a little bit. So is the ice cream itself isn't Viagra ice cream? It's the topping.
It's the top. They sprinkle it on top. The rest of the ice cream is Viagra themed. It's got like popping candy in, and it's dyed blue.
Ah, okay.
I don't know what the flavour is. I'm not gonna.
You said sherbet.
Oh. Right, apparently I do know what the flavour is. It's sherbet.
Just, I don't understand why. The motivation perplexes me.
It's just a fun night out.
It isn't. It definitely isn't.
So it's like, you go to this ice cream parlour, whatever it was called, De L'Erection, and then you... Then they say, what ice creams would you like? What flavours would you like? How many balls would you like?
How many balls would you like?
What kind of cone would you like? Or would you like it in a cup? And you do all those things. They're like, okay, would you like any toppings? Sprinkles, chocolate bits, Viagra. And you're like, oh, I'll have the granola and the Viagra, please.
No, the only situation I can understand this in is hotel room service.
It's a classy sit-down meal that ends with a medical erection.
Do you go home immediately afterwards to make use of it?
Is it like a bed and breakfast, this place, or not? Can you stay the night, or do you just literally walk out?
Just get the tube with a direction. We've all had to...
No! Oh my god. Guys, do we think it's a thing? Sophie, do you think it's a thing?
No. No, not sprinkles. Viagra flavour, perhaps. Don't know what that flavour is, but not Viagra pill sprinkles.
That'd
no.
just be the flavour of pills, which taste awful.
I think it sounds unpleasant, illegal, and dangerous. It's definitely not a thing. Hugo.
I don't think it can be a thing because... Well, no, having said that, I think it could be a thing, but because it's the fact that it's just the sprinkles on top. Whereas I don't think you could have this... I like the idea... You said that it's a blue theme, or Viagra theme, or whatever, but I don't think you could have a fully... hardcore, because what happens if you just sit there eating tubs and tubs and tubs of it? If it was hardcore.
While staring down the waiter
as it grows and grows.
But I think because it's sprinkles, I think it's more likely to be a thing. So I'm saying yes.
Is it a thing, Freddie?
Which we don't ask the listeners at home.
We should ask the porn stars.
Porn stars at home, are you turgid right now? How far into your ice cream are you? Is it a thing, Freddie?
It is a thing.
Are you kidding me? How can it be a thing? All the details you told us are true.
And they all contradicted one another as well.
Yeah, okay, I don't know about the sherbet thing. I did pull that out of my ass. But
the restaurant thing.
Yes, it's a restaurant where they crumble Viagra over the top of your... Sophie, back me up here on the Google box.
The female Viagra ice cream is making a splash. Telegraph, would you?
Making a splosh.
Whoa, female Viagra is different.
It's London-based, the ice creamists, not L'Erection, famous for their Lady Gaga breast milk ice cream, have long been serving their sex bomb flavour, which uses a herbal erectile stimulant.
Okay, so not Viagra.
Okay.
So it does exist, but not in the context that you presented it. That's okay.
Sophie Marquand, last one of today. What have you got for us?
Okay, so I have been perusing the internet for interesting foodstuffs from around the world. Traditional things, slightly odd things, things you can eat in other places that we wouldn't deem normal here. And I have stumbled upon the concept of dung crackers. So these are exactly as they sound. They're crackers made of dung. As I understand it, though, the dung is, well, something is eaten by the animals who then produce the dung. I think it's cow dung that's dried, I assume, in the sun or something. It's actually a delicacy in the southern USA.
In the US?
Yes.
I was listening to a podcast the other day where this guy was talking about how his village had, his town in America had a yearly contest. It was called Cowpat Bingo, and they basically grid up a field, and wherever the cows poo, you get points on your scorecard. If you like choose the right places, it's going to poo. Given that fecal obsession of this small town, I can imagine them having a sort of weird delicacy based on cowpats as well.
Mm.
Though I still... No, it can't be a thing, can it, really?
Basically, the sun is hot enough to dry out dung and you can produce things out of it. But it's very, very specialised dung. You feed the animals, cows, I guess certain plants, and they produce quite, like, I guess, sweet-tasting, nice-tasting dung when it's dried out. And then you dry it out and you make crackers out of it, and they're sold as a delicacy. There are a lot of things around the world that people eat that they wouldn't necessarily eat here, insects, mud. So this is just sort of another one of those things.
Insects, yes. Insects, mud. Yes. Mud. Do people eat mud?
Yes.
Children eat mud. May I be the first to say, that's disgusting!
Okay, I get the idea of feeding them a nice diet and that making it taste quite nice. It sounds unhygienic.
Yeah.
Well, it's not unheard of, these sorts of things. So I don't know what the animal is, but coffee beans that are eaten by certain animals and then pooed out, and then they're it's the world's most expensive cup of coffee. So eating dung or eating products, you know, that are in dung isn't unheard of.
Bats. Bats eat the beans.
Is it bats?
Okay. You harvest the guano.
Oh, okay. Mm. I didn't know.
Which is,
cool.
I don't know why bats get a special word for their poo. Guano.
Guano, it sounds a bit like...
It sounds quite nice. It's the new quinoa. And, Mr. Tesco's, do you have any guano?
that's basically what they are.
It just dries out. You don't add, like, flour or sugar or anything like that. You just dry it out.
So you're just saying we're just eating dried...
Crap.
Like cowpat. We're eating a cowpat that has had nice feed.
Yeah.
My understanding is that they collect the cowpats when they're fresh, smooth them out onto a nice big tray, allow them to dry. Allow them to dry and sort of cut them into the, like, patty shapes.
But wait, surely do they not like bake them or something?
In the sun.
Oh, literally just in the sun. Yeah.
So I'm sure that these pats are like edible. And might even taste nice, but my issue is that they've been through a cow.
Yeah,
can I give you a case study of where this might come from? If you might think it's real, but it might just be a bunch of tourists go on their like gap year to some place, and the locals who fucking absolutely hate these gap year students. Say, oh, how about this delicacy we have here, this cowpat cracker, and those students, not wanting to be rude, dig in, and they're like, this is interesting flavour. Are you sure it's hygienic? And they're like, oh, of course, yes. And they eat them, and they've actually just eaten cow crap, and it's not a thing. Hugo, are you convinced by this tale?
I'm going to give it a miss, I'm afraid. I don't think this is a thing. It's not floating my boat.
I'm not finding it appetising either.
Just because you've heard doesn't mean you have to eat it.
No, but I still think...
I can imagine in a situation where you have very limited food, you might resort to that, but I don't think it's like a delicacy as you presented it.
And is it for, it's for human consumption, not for like other...
No, you wouldn't
refeed it to like...
A cow.
A pig or something, yeah.
Well, we've all heard of the...
human centipede.
No.
I do think it's real, because I think they eat kooky nonsense in other countries.
People at home, you feeling a bit peckish?
Poo girl. Not
dry out your poo and have a nibble on that, because that'll be tasty.
If this invention's real, it'll be tasty. If not, you'll die.
You've made a horrendous mistake.
Oh, well, they can't be that. So, I mean, the worst that's going to happen when you eat poo is that you'll just be sick.
And get seriously ill.
Yeah.
Bad for you.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. How do you know?
No, I knew a guy that...
I'm nutritional expert.
He was like, oh.
There are a lot of diseases in fecal matter.
He accidentally got like a little bit of his baby's poo in his mouth when he was changing him. Don't worry why. He was hospitalised for days.
What has he been
poo
feeding his
so
baby?
Poo is so bad for you. You know, if you leave it in contact with your skin for like a couple of hours, you'll come out in a rash. It's so bad.
That's
it's definitely true.
There is a reason we have the drainage systems we have, because it's quite dangerous to not... to have waste lying around.
There's a reason why cholera and dysentery killed so many people.
Yeah, because they didn't... because they were ill.
No, because poo is deadly.
Cholera crackers! Now your favourite waterborne illness is in a cracker.
If this is a real invention, we need to start doing missionary work again so we can save these idiots from their poo crackers.
You are awful.
Sophie. Sorry. Sophie, is it a thing?
As far as I know, it's not, but it kind of is. In that
you've done it twice.
In that I personally bake them, so buy them from Barking Baking.
Slander.
This spring's exclusive product.
So that as the concept or as the process is not something I'm aware of, but I have spent a lot of time Googling dung crackers to see if they're real or not, and there have been, I've just got some to some dark places in the internet that I don't want to go.
Don't forget to visit barkingbaking.com. Do you have a Twitter, Hugo?
Yeah, at barkingbaking, and Facebook. Everything. Barkingbaking.
You can follow us on Twitter at HitNatPodcast, or us personally, I'm at MCClues.
I'm on Instagram as Freddie Riddell.
I'm on Instagram as SR Mark Gwind.
Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I like it.
I still don't actually know what my actual Twitter is.
I don't use Twitter.
Well, thank you for listening to our food special. See you next time.
And remember, keep inventing.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.